We're almost through. We have 2 more hours left. So if you want to be interactive, please. I see everybody's kind of on their phones looking around. We're going to talk about a subject matter I think everybody here is interested in. Every day, you open up the newspaper, go to television, it's always about OTT this, OTT that. People are jumping in it. So, but before we start, I'll just do some quick introductions. So Vanessa, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Vanessa Fiola. I'm a partner with OnPrem. I've been in the OTT space in a leadership position across multiple networks for about the past 7 years.
Awesome. Eric?
Eric Iverson. I'm the CIO at CAA, and around a creative artist agency previously at Sony Pictures, and I've been around this area topic for 15 years. So.
Awesome. Craig?
I'm Craig Heiding. I'm EVP of Ubiquity, a division of Amdocs Media, which is a division of Amdocs, and I have been in the industry a long time. It's been both sides on the creative and the distribution, so it's I've seen a lot happen.
Awesome. So I thought I'd just start with some bullet points to kind of give some context to this. So today, 7.5 billion people on the planet, 2.5 billion of them have a smartphone, and the leader today in OTT is only about 140 million subs. So clearly, we're looking at a huge market, and that's why a lot of companies are getting their toes into OTT. And I think, you know, the first thing that you start asking, you know, when you think about this format is, in television, it was a one-to-many relationship. In cable, it was still kind of one-to-many because you didn't know who was watching television via the cable box. Today, you have a one-to-one. And so now you start to understand what that consumer is doing, how they're engaging. And I thought, since this audience is on the tech side, we'd talk about kind of the challenges to engagement. And so, you know, I think the first question that I'd say to the group is, you know, how important do you think engagement is going to be to the OTT services today? Who wants to start? Vanessa.
Thank you. How important do I think engagement is? I think it's absolutely critical. I mean, it's a subs model, right? And so, it's not just about acquisition, it's about churn management, it's about keeping the longevity and driving up the customer, the lifetime value of your end users. So absolutely, engagement is paramount to that.
And do you think, like, is the focus, is it gonna be like the fact that, okay, so as you said, the acquisition is really expensive, so retention is gonna be really important. Is it about personalized discovery? Do you win by suggesting films that people want to see, content that they want to see all the time, or do you leave it up to them?
No, I mean, I think that's one paradigm, and if it weren't effective, you wouldn't see it in basically everywhere, right? And the recommendations engines that support that. But I think that that's just one component of it, right? And so I think from a technology perspective, you have to be able to hone in, and I think the panel before, was it, Dan had said this, right? Like, you have to be able to know who they are at even a micro segment level to when we talk about engagement of the future.
Right.
So can I add to that?
Sure.
I think it's important to know who they are, but also even down to what device they're watching their content on at that moment, because we know that people are watching different content on their cell phone than they're watching on their 80-inch screen TV, and you have to know that so you're giving them the right content that they want, especially young people.
Eric, I mean, you have a large purview of the market. I mean, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, two different answers I might give. One, just riffing, because we like to riff. You know, I think in complete agreement, I mean, with autonomous cars going to be coming to us soon, which means you're going to be watching on the road, which is nice. I have an hour and I can watch something. I think not only knowing who's watching on what device, but maybe what time of day. I mean, what I want to watch in the evening is going to probably be a little different than what I watch in the morning, and that seems pretty obvious to us. But that's all going to, I think, lead in not only to just the experience that we're trying to do technically, but obviously, working for CAA, the storytelling and the stories that we're also going to try to tell. I think all of us have experienced, and all of you that are producers that we're working with, you could tell that our imagination about storytelling is also changing in the experience. So it's kind of fun because I think we're watching storytelling going through innovation at the same time that the experience is going through innovation, and both of those two things now need to crosstalk, which is pretty interesting and fun, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to be sitting here in 10 years and we're not just going to be saying the time of day. We're going to say, what kind of mood were they in at that moment and what kind of content would they most fit that mood?
Yeah, I was just hoping like to sit out there in 10 years and with my lounge chair, but No, I agree. No, I agree with that, though. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I think of, how many people have kids out there? Some of you? I mean, it's just nuts watching your kids consume content right now. I mean, that keeps blowing my mind even more than even the commercial bits that we work on, and I have to keep rethinking about that. But I wish I could cite what it was, but over the weekend, there was a really good article that came out on production for millennials, and it was really focused on the value system of the millennials being different and what they're really focused on and being more diverse and all of that, and some of the shows being produced having a big effect on that particular audience. And I think that's, whether it's technically or the show, I mean, one thing I love, and I hope you love this about this industry, I love what we do, and that is that we're community makers one way or another. And I think when at the heart of this whole experience thing, as I've thought about it, I think it's this community aspect. So a long time ago, you know, we'd go around the water cooler because the night before, you know, we had scarcity so that we could only watch this show as it was being released at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was community making. And we still have community making today, but that experience is completely different. It's a semi-social, we're watching it asynchronously, but it's still developing communities, and in the community making is much broader than it ever used to be. So I think this kind of ability to think through kind of what that next generation experience community making thing, we're in it, we're making it. It's a lot of fun, a lot of opportunity there.
Just to piggyback on what Eric said, I was at my son's pediatrician last week, and he was telling me that Gen Z, which my son is a part of, is their brain actually processes information in a different way. The way that they take in information.
That
the way
has
they
to be
consume.
A true statement with my yeah. 100% you are right, for sure.
Where they are taking in micro bits of information, gigantic bits of information, and processing it literally different. And so the engagement model of the future is going to look different, similar to what you had said as well. Is that will look different. The way that we measure engagement and try to engage is, I think, going to be blown wide open in the next few years.
Yeah, can I just further riff? I'll just use this, and I don't mean this as an advertisement because this is a different audience, but this last year, I'll just give a quick story on a change of engagement on a OTT. So we had a client that approached us. There's a famous radio, talk radio sports broadcaster. If you've ever heard of Mike and the Mad Dog or any of that, if you're in sports. So Mike Francesa is the Mike and the Mad Dog, and he is a super popular radio talk show host. And just about 1 year ago, he decided to retire and went on a retirement tour. And after he retired, I think a conversation between him and his wife both agreed that him working is better than retirement. And so he was bored, and it was time to go back, so he came to CAA and said, hey, I don't really want to do exactly what I was doing. I want to kind of do something different and whatnot. And so here's a radio personality trying to re-engage with his audience, who has a very big audience. So to give you an example, when he went off the air, the ratings for that station somewhat went from number one to a very low number. And eventually, when we got him back in the combination with what we were doing digitally, it went from that low number back to number one. I mean, just very big, very solid, rabid audience. And what he wanted to do was, he liked his radio show, but if you imagine this is a sports radio personality, is that ability to, let's say, right after a game that was a colossal disaster or a gigantic win, mm-hmm. to be able to re-engage with that community and that audience right then when everybody wants to talk about it. And if you're a radio broadcaster, you can't do that because there's some show that's already booked, right?
Right.
But as a digital person, he could have a totally different experience. And I could tell you from watching the numbers, engagement at that moment is really high. It's actually as high, it could be as high, if not higher sometimes, than the regular show. And that's kind of this reimagining what we can do in over the top with engagement. And it was just fascinating watching kind of some of the audience behaviors over the last year with that project, which was a lot of fun to do.
And so to that, when you talk about engagement and you think about, like, you know, we talked about how big this opportunity is, and there's some guys out there that are leading it today. And you want to do it globally, and you know, the panel before kind of talked about it, but is it a do-it-yourself or is it a partner? to kind of get to scale as you think about localizing the recommendations that come out of a discovery engine or something? Like, do you go about it just, again, solo, or do you bring in the best and the brightest from all over? How about?
I think it's interesting that you...
That's a really difficult answer for me, but yeah. I could elaborate on it.
Yeah, no, but one thing that I just said is that I think you just said it. Is like, you know, you brought up the concept of autonomous cars, right? And these things that seem disparate are actually not, because paradigms are being established in other industries. But curious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, you know, my general thought would be it's maybe a little all of the above. I think you see a combination at the, you know, let's say major distributors in this room are... definitely have a laser focus on some big plays.
Right.
That seems like a smart thing to me. I mean, they'll come up with their own strategy. But you also see at the same time, you know, some focus, and
right.
you see defocus at the same time, which is interesting because if you look at Dan with Spotify, who, you know, we know very well at CAA as well, that industry really focused.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're kind of listening to streaming music, you're kind of going through a couple different partners. I kind of get a sense, and maybe I'll be wrong, you know, 5 to 10 years, but if we look at other aspects of what's happened, and I kind of tend to believe history repeats itself, we didn't, even with like cable and all, we kept doing this, we created more channels. And even
right.
with consolidation, we still ended up with more. And when it came to like magazines, we ended up with more. Even though I think we're going to get a focus, I just have this sense that the creativity and the creative energies will still create this entrepreneurial aspect of this experience bit. So if I were to bet, I think that we're going to see both. I think we're going to see
signing up for
some
a lot of
like
services.
Big plays, and I think we're going to see entrepreneurial opportunities, and we'll see. I mean, it's
right.
the great thing about being in Hollywood, right?
And Craig, you're dealing with customers that are you know, either they're staging these they're staging the launches or in the middle of launches. I mean, maybe you can talk about some of the challenges that they might be encountering.
Well, the first challenge is probably money. But it's tough. It's tough
yeah.
because unless you're Disney coming out with a new service, it's tough to raise the money to get enough content that's going to get some attention out there
right.
when you launch your service. So we actually are agnostic to that.
Right.
We will sell to everybody and
so will we love that.
Process. Yeah, it's great. It's a great business, right? But we see the ones that are making are more successful, or if they're smaller,
right.
are the ones that are staying to more of a niche more of a special audience at first, so that they can get that group in there. If they you're not going to, not everybody's going to be able to explode like a Disney onto the OTT front anymore. So I think that's probably the key is finding these little niches, and I see a lot of consolidation coming down the road, just like everything else. You know, you'll see all these little OTT services, and then they'll start combining with other ones, and it'll end up looking similar to the way it's
yeah.
looked.
Right.
Yeah.
always. History will replay itself.
Just like you said, with more content, more magazines. Yeah.
Yeah.
That brings up an interesting question. So, you know, TVOD, SVOD, AVOD. Clearly, SVOD right now seems to be what everybody's jumping into. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on which format might potentially be the next breakout format?
It's interesting. I was looking at data over the weekend also, not preparing at all for this. No, but it was when I was looking at the spend patterns of the different cohorts of AVOD versus SVOD versus TVOD, the average spend and the income, annual income for AVOD is actually higher. I want to say, like, by a measure of, like, 30 to 40%, which is significant, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll continue to see growth in every segment, but I'm really excited about where AVOD's going, because what we also know about AVOD users is that they don't actually mind the commercials, right?
Right.
If it gets them the content that they want, they're good.
Yeah, I know. How many of you have worked on some kind of OTT platform or with or supported? You know, I don't know. Yeah, I supported Crackle, which was
yeah.
a major AVOD
yeah.
platform. I saw what they had to do. Sony Pictures distributed
right.
content through TVOD. We've had clients that are SVOD. You look at each one of them, and they're different games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, back to the experience, I think, you know, that's one thing. The only thing I could say for sure is this, simply this, you pay with your time or you pay with your money.
Right.
I have a general bias that time is the most precious of all of our commodities. You know, the younger generation has more time than money, which is why they prefer AVOD. So that's why you see your kids on YouTube a lot, where they're not necessarily spending your, where they don't mind it as much. I think we, as we get older and are really conscious of our time, don't like the AVOD service as much, probably because we do actually, we want to really be cautious of how we're spending our time. My guess would be is, how many people feel like you're getting more time on planet or less? More? No mores? Less? Yeah, okay. So if that trend continues, then I would say, and I think you see this in advertisers, it's just that it creates a headwind. That doesn't mean it's going to go away, and I think that both will live on for a long time. I just think it'll be interesting to see how that comes back. I don't know if it's going to be like soap operas a long time ago, where it has to be more integrated.
We're going backward in time.
Forward. Just because I just think the time problem is interesting.
With respect to AVOD, though, I think what's interesting is, and because we have the freedom and the sort of ability to really dial into user behavior and the data, I think the model, and I'm not saying anything that's not already being done, but the model of how we consume ads now is changing rapidly. And so I think that the way that we used to think about like the standard breaks, we are able to now, with like multivariate testing in real time, kind of test like what works on what models, and because we have the data behind who those users are and their demographic and what time of day they're watching and all those different factors, where I think we're able to get a lot smarter about that model.
Yeah, I think that as far as TVOD, what we see is there's no question that TVOD is struggling. And it needs to be reinvented. It needs to be either with premium VOD and making an event out of
like a hybrid.
Hybrid. And that's the only way it's going to survive. I think people are turning away from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're a TVOD person in the room, I don't mean to make you sad with this guy. But that was his fault. People don't have a lot of time, and subscription services are just simple. I think it's just why Spotify and whatnot, I don't have to make a decision. I already paid for it. I don't know what I got. I don't have to do another transaction. I don't have to worry about where it goes and how long I get the value out of it. I just think that the value proposition there. I mean, for those of you who have kids, I mean, mostly where my TVOD money goes is to things that my kids are going to watch 100 million times, and I have to guarantee their access to it.
Right.
And if it doesn't fall into that category, then usually feel like you can get it in a pinch. So I just think that it's a headway. If you look at most of the world that's kind of moving into this subscription of everything, you're seeing it with cars. People don't really feel like they need to own things anymore. That availability of so much, I think, is just going to make more like the subscription model more common. And I think there'll be a lot of invention in AVOD. I think there's no question that it's not going away, and invention will be the key there. Yeah.
A lot of money in the advertising side. So
there's a ton Somebody's of money.
Figure it out.
You bet.
They're trying to figure it out.
Figure out exactly how to get there.
What about profitability? I mean, we're reading today in the news that some sites obviously aren't profitable and they have a lot of debt. Like, is it just simply going after market share and so be it? Let's just, it's a race to millions and millions of subs. Is that the go-to-market for the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, no one probably knows the answer, but I could throw out, I'm an optimistic person.
Yes.
I might, I might say, like, if you looked at things that are on the positive side, your negative argument might be, we're producing so much content you possibly can't watch. This can't continue like this forever. But if you do, and I'll go back to my autonomous vehicles, there are things like that that are magically going to create actually a little more time.
Right.
To consume, so that's kind of a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of between markets, so kind of the spend is in different places, but I might use Blu-ray versus red laser discs. Confusion in the marketplace means people don't consume either, and so I think that if there's more focus, like, hey, there's a switch over from broadcast or whatnot, then. And really, all my stuff is kind of in a few of the platforms, Disney cuts over. However, it's
right.
game's going to turn out. That actually might create more focus and attention, make it easier. Your search and find, I think, is going to continue to improve. So there's a lot of things that connect you to communities and content that is like a positive thing. And I think if we're spending our time well and we're enjoying it, then we'll probably consume. If people are consuming, whether it's ad-supported or subscription, then we're going to go from that 160 million to a lot more if there's a good value proposition on that. And the other positive is how many people would bet that the cost of technology is going to go up or down? And I would say, how many people are betting it's going to go down? And it's going to go down, right? So that's another positive,
that's a good
optimistic
curve,
thing,
like,
right? So
curve.
What are the things that have been making this expensive? It's having to produce so much
content
to get into your lane.
Right.
And technology is expensive, right, but going to get cheaper. And time, there's still a lot of subscription opportunity. And there are some positive news in,
right,
time. So that's a pretty good equation, right?
I
all right, so we're all going to have jobs. That's
I
what I just said that all for myself, by the way. I was just making myself.
I would agree it's a race to get as many customers as they want, but at some point they have to address that people are hopping back and forth between these services. Just depending on what the new show is, they're going to go and hop to that other service. They might have like a core of two or three, but there's got to be a way that these guys think about how to keep these customers sticking with them on a longer term basis without locking them in, but just because they want to. And I think that's the thing that's probably facing them. But it is a land grab right now. But
that's what's interesting, because you know, you start reading right now and you're seeing what a lot of people are doing, and some people have phrased it the science of the customer, right? Starting to really understand whether they're a new customer on the platform, whether in the midlife cycle of it, or whether they're coming to the end. And the ability with starting to understand what they do on these platforms, what they like, what they don't like, to start really, you know, personalizing the service to them. And I think that, you know, that's to me the cool part as this evolves, is all of a sudden I start really getting the content that I'm really interested in, start discovering things that I never thought that I would ever look at.
And also just your understanding of your customer and their threshold.
Right.
Right? So you can make more content available, but, you know, the reality is if, like, your customer is only coming to you for that one show,
right,
then maybe you think about your business model and what your cost is to that customer.
Right.
I think that's where it's going in the future.
But it gets back into what Eric said. I mean, if time's important to me, and I have, if there's an engine that's all of a sudden pointing content to me that's really interesting to me, you're saving me time. I'm finding what I want. And I think that's something that makes it very sticky. So.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think if you look at the production and experience combination, it's hard to kind of,
right,
completely separate that.
Yeah, separate.
Do we have anyone from Netflix in the room? I'm going to say something nice. You could raise your hand. Nobody. They didn't.
What was the question?
There was the too smart. They're going, right, to the extra smart content, Hollywood. We'll see. We'll get them. They're kind of coming to the MPA. We'll get them to sign up for Movie Labs, and then they'll be here next time. You know, I would say, I mean, that's just because it's such an easy example.
Yeah.
It's such a good example of someone that from day one, they've really set out to understand their audience and know their audience and know what they want and go after that. It's relatively easy argument to say that that's kind of working for them as far as the keep your audience engaged. And this is the thing I'll say a million times, if you're running a subscription service, you don't have to have, you just need enough engagement. They're in a subscription business. So, you know, they don't need someone watching 100 hours a week. They just need someone that has a quality, whatever their threshold is, two,
right,
hours a week, 1 hour, whatever their threshold is for, like, getting value out of that subscription.
And I think that's right. It's the value.
And I see that from, like, the Mike Francesa, example,
right,
we have. It's like, you know, and you should look at, if you want to see some hilarious stories, and is you go up there, we have like on the app, which you can look on the, you can do this right now, look on the app store, and you'll see that people will complain that we have a bunch of ones and a bunch of fives, which kills me as like a technologist, and all the people digging on it are digging on the subscription price, but that wasn't the audience.
Okay.
For that audience, that subscription price was his audience. That amount, the $8.99 that they were going to pay, that was fine. I mean, it was worth it. And so I think that's whether it's Netflix or whatnot,
so
understanding that.
But I think they need to be careful since there's no Netflix people in the room, of how they go, because I have like six people on my account on Netflix, and it only counts as one subscription. They're only getting paid once. They need to look at how to keep their subscribers, but get them all to pay, or get more to pay, right? And they got to be
coming
really
over
careful.
To your house later today, I think, with a special,
<What's that>?
Special
well,
offer.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm not even sure if it's my account or one of my kids, actually. But
it's a neighbor's account, actually.
but really, seriously, it's a land grab right now. They've got lots of eyeballs, but they could do so much better.
Right.
But they have to be careful in how they do that. So that they don't turn people right. off to their service either. And
well,
a lot of
yeah.
that is original content and making it relevant.
Yeah, and you know, we were talked before this, you know, it's a kind of the engagement experience and why that's important in churn. You know, I know, Vanessa, you had some other thoughts on that.
No, I was actually, sorry, just thinking that, you know, for all of the, we've talked about this before, but just what's interesting to me about Netflix, and I know they're not here, but I always think of them as an engineering platform first and then a content provider second, and what that allows them to do is get really, that sort of model has allowed them to get really smart about who their users are,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that, you know, your earlier question about their, like, is it sustainable, and I don't know that it was necessarily directed towards the Netflix model, but given... But I, you know, you continue to watch the stock price go up,
right.
and you look at their market share and their value right now, and it's insane. Is it $80 billion or something like that? So, I don't know. It's interesting.
Could be better though.
Are you a shareholder?
Stock. Clearly a shareholder.
We just want it to go up, so
yeah.
I'm,
right.
we want all of our stocks to go up too. By the way,
more
originals.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I was just going to throw out. I mean, we're starting to round down out of time. Just a fun analogy. I brought up the autonomous car thing, and so we'll play a little game, and maybe this will be helpful. All this is about kind of engagement on OTT, and I went to the earlier session on like don't have a what was that? Like, don't have a horrible OTT service or your whatever it was. You know, I think here'd be my thought. When we've moved into this space, we've kind of taken, still to a fair degree, linear television, and we've put it on the internet. So I'm going to go into a different analogy for a second. I want everyone to imagine, let's say autonomous cars are coming, and I want you to imagine for a second the autonomous car that you're going to get, and you're going to drive in. Got that picture in your mind? Looks like some awesome Tesla thing or something like that. All right, so now let's take a step back. Like, we go into the subscription model. Like, how many of us in the future in that autonomous car world that we're going to live in 10 years from now actually need to own a car? And if you don't own a car, what's the car look like? Because how many of you are in the car when you're driving to work? One person. The reason you have a car that has 5 seats in it is because you think you're going to take other people in it. What's the freeways going to look like? So by analogy, if you think about what an autonomous car is going to look like, you have to take a step back and reimagine. If you're thinking about turning a car into an autonomous car, I think you have the complete wrong mindset. So when it comes to OTT and engagement, what I might throw out and go to ask your kids for all those hands waves is like, what do you think actually OTT should, you know, a service should look like? And I think you'll be fascinated about their answer. And if that's why I said, like, use the Mike Francesa thing. If you want a real fun rant, go on CNN, listen to him talk. And he talks about a different experience. Like, what is the experience that we're shooting for? And I think there's so much opportunity to rethink that a little bit.
Right.
I'm a little surprised that your kids don't know what the term OTT is, but that's...
We have a very weird household. We have like those nerd dreams in the house, you know.
I'm being told by our fearless leader that we're running out of time, so I want
to
thank
you have to run
our panelists. Let's give them a round of applause, everybody.
Thank you so much, Stephen, Vanessa, Eric, Craig. Great session. Great energy.